Here's a rhymed English translation of the Italian original. Even the tiniest things are beautiful. The tiniest things can be most dear of all. Consider, for example, any pearl. It costs a lot, and yet it's only small. Think of an olive, just a tiny thing, and yet its savour is so nourishing. Think of a rose in bloom. It's only small, and yet it's the most fragrant flower of all. In that version, I've been careful to preserve the imperfect rhymes of the original Italian, beautiful and pearl, corresponding to belle and perle, and so on. Heiser would not have done that. He would have ironed out all such roughnesses into smooth poetic material. Now, I want to use this song mainly to illustrate Wolff's marvellous verbo-musical procedures throughout his entire work, and in particular throughout the Italian songs. I know it's rather like trying to illustrate the works of Shakespeare by reference to just one sonnet. The method has evident disadvantages, but I claim certain justifications. Auch kleine Dinge was, after all, the song that Wolff himself chose to stand at the head of this marvellous songbook as an introduction in every sense. It has special interest to me in the context of this study, for Graham Johnson tells me that it was the first Wolff song that he ever discovered. He had to play it at sight for a singer. When he started it, Graham said, he knew almost nothing of Wolff. By the time he finished it, he'd become a confirmed and devoted Wolffian for life. Well, I know that feeling, and I'm glad to have it shared. So, what happens in the mind of a musician who sings or plays or hears or even reads Auch kleine Dinge? A certain kind of musician, one whose mind is verbal, whose musical mind is verbal or verbalized from the start. It's about small things. About the smallest key concept is the triad. Something like that. A sort of molecule of music. But we're dealing with atoms here. The poem says the tiniest things. So we have the triad, as it were, unstitched. We have to pick it apart. We have to open it up for inspection and see how small it is. As the poem says, coniti menti, bedenk, think about the nature of smallness, analyze it, look at it closely. So you have the triad and you take it to pieces and you look at each separate piece, and this is an image of smallness. And then it's repeated and so on. And those are single notes, which are the smallest sounds, after all, you can get. And smaller still, of course, if you play them staccato, detached, as when the prelude ends. And when it involves fresh springtime key of A major. So those notes shine in your mind, like little pearls on a string, or tiny drops of dew. You might think that was exaggerated. You would think it was exaggerated, unless you'd heard our pianist play it. And then you know it's an emotional understatement. Smallness can assume all sorts of shapes in music as well as words, and Wolff is, of course, infinitely inventive. He inserts and insinuates smallness into our minds, as it were, subliminally. Another Italian song begins, "My dearest love is so small, my liebster is so klein." And that has either a very small distance between the notes or no distance at all. So when later in Auch kleine Dinge we hear these chords and so on, teased out into separate notes to be examined, with the tops just tapped in or ticked in, we're getting yet another image of smallness. And here's yet another. After the words schwer bezahlt, pearls are expensive, yet they're only small, und sind nur klein, with semiquaver rests inserted like little silences written into the music. And there are many other different examples of smallness written into the music. Twice, and so on. And after all, the dynamics are as small as they can possibly be. Piano, pianissimo. And yet, despite all this detail, that's not the message. The point is that small things can be and are beautiful and dear. So go back to the prelude and ask, while the right hand talks about smallness, what's the left hand doing? And again. What's that saying? Everybody really can hear it. I can hear it because later in the song it says, auch kleine Dinge können uns entzücken, can delight us. And it says, heard in the prelude can delight us as the very next idea, and that is repeated. Auch kleine Dinge können teuer sein, and the chord and the intervals of teuer sein are again heard in the left hand, and those melodic intervals are themselves small. So, smallness and joy, smallness and delight, smallness and marvellousness and magic are being equated in this music from the prelude onwards. And its theme is beauty. But why? Why is that? What's all the fuss about? Well, it's clear from the Italian sources, the original lyric is about a loving little girl. She's been scorned or rejected. Either her physical stature or her social status is minimal. Anyhow, she's in some sense far beneath or far below the person she's talking to, or thinking about. Don't ignore me. Don't desert me. Don't ever leave me. Don't forget me. This is what the music says. And we know it says this because we have a little lexicon or breviary. We know it although those words do not occur in this song, and those ideas are not mentioned verbally. So how are they made manifest? By other more general motifs which are heard in other songs, more songs than one. In this first song, as the voice sings about the dearness of small things, the left hand begins to move away from the right, like this. A steady level of figuration in the right hand, and the left hand departs. The left hand in the lead, meaning darkness, dimness, forgetting, out of sight, loss of memory, out of sight, out of mind. That's how the left hand moves in Schubert, in Brahms, in Schumann. Images of disappearance, parting, separation. In the very next song, we hear that same idea. In about the same notes. And there the words are, they tell me that you're going on a journey, far away from me. Think on me, the words say. Don't forget me. And that's what that music is saying, and it's saying it there, and it's saying it in the first song too. Now that second song is for a woman's voice. But in Auch kleine Dinge, it could be a man's voice. And what Bov does for us is to make music and ideas unisex. I mean, emotions are equally valid for all concerned. And Bov, after all, was a very small man himself. He might well have felt himself saying, I'm only small, but don't leave me, don't neglect me. Most of us need to be loved and even admired, however insignificant we are or feel. But the composer has a greater responsibility than this. He has to stress what is truly significant in life, and he has to do that by means of musical metaphors. For this purpose, Bov uses a different technique of verbal emphasis, long notes, such as the full Minimum Frucht. What's good about small things, what's good in general, Frucht, the fruit of the olive, a sudden long note, or the warm harmonies, B flat in A major, for the Güte of the olive, of its goodness. You have to be a supertonic. I didn't want to make too much of that. Who is being addressed in this song? A dear friend or lover, of course. And there's an audience in the German text which has strayed in through the translation. Rose smells so sweet, the ear wist, as you know. Some of those people may have been put in just for the sake of the rhyme. But there they all are, listening intently, nodding in agreement. They're being addressed. The song is speaking to someone, and it's changing their point of view. And the singer's point of view changes. The song seems, the vocal line seems to me to gain in confidence. It begins by talking hardly above a whisper and ends by singing out in delight. It's increased its stature somehow. And this song typically displays in two pages almost everything the voice can do. Messa di voce, parlando, recitativo, declamando, and even what you might call melodic relief. So even this small song can delight us with its vocal and keyboard variety as well as its unity.